The Assemblies of God is a movement of like-minded Pentecostal churches that was birthed back in the early 1900s. As I said a moment ago, Emmanuel Assembly of God is a part of that movement. And one of the defining characteristics, not only of the Assemblies of God, but also of all Pentecostal and charismatic churches throughout the world, is that we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today. Obviously, as evidenced by what we had been participating with here this morning. And just so we're on the same page, when I use the term gifts of the Spirit, also interchangeable with spiritual gifts, I'm talking about those gifts that God gives to His people, the body of Christ, to use both personally and publicly in church life. So we're talking about things like the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, gift of prophecy, the gift of a word of knowledge or a word of encouragement, the gift of miracles. We see in the Bible gift of administration, the gift of teaching, the gift of helps and hospitality. All of these are spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, if you take all of the different gift lists found in the Bible, you'll find well over 20 different spiritual gifts listed, and I don't believe that those are exhaustive lists. In other words, for instance, when Paul sat down to talk about the spiritual gifts, he was not writing a list of every gift that the Holy Spirit could give to somebody. Normally, he was addressing some type of issue within the church, so on and so forth. Either way, these are the spiritual gifts. And the reason, I suppose, I say that it's a defining characteristic of the Assemblies of God is because, and this was especially true back in the early days, the vast majority of the body of Christ throughout the world believed that the gifts were dead. In other words, that God had ceased to give them to the church. Now, there are different reasons for this. Probably the biggest reason is because in the mid-1800s, the gifts, well, they were basically dead. People just were not using or walking in the gifts of the Spirit, especially gifts like tongues, interpretation, miracles, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of encouragement, those types of gifts that we see in operation here very often on a Sunday morning. So they noticed this, and they talked about it. And so you had scholars, theologians, pastors, denominational leaders coming together, forming different theologies as to why the gifts were dead. Now, there are different thoughts as to the how and when and where and what, but you could take them all and put them under a blanket title called cessation of the gifts. In other words, the gifts have ceased, they have stopped, they're no longer for the church in modern times. Unfortunately for them, they ran into the early 1900s. About a decade prior to the birth of the Assemblies of God, the Holy Spirit was once again poured out. And many of those gifts that were deemed dead came alive again. Many scholars today call it the modern-day Pentecost. This caused a headache for many churches and many individuals. Remember, the paradigm in those days, the theology is the gifts are dead. Now, all of a sudden, there's people in their churches speaking in tongues. There's people giving words of knowledge and their interpretations of tongues. And they had to wrestle with this. And it probably came down to one of two things. They thought that these people were overly emotional and out of control, or B, worse yet, it was demonic. And so people who loved Jesus were now kicked out of their churches, which is really the main reason why movements and denominations like the Assemblies of God had to form in the first place. These folks had nowhere else to go. because they were deemed wrong, demonic, heretic, whatever it might be. You still see this in pockets, in certain denominations, where if you're using some of these types of gifts, they're going to look down on you. You're out of line, you're out of place, possibly oppressed, or even worse, possessed by a demon. Either way, it proves to us that the gifts aren't actually dead. At most, they simply lied dormant. And I will tell you this as well. There is no good biblical scripture or reason for anybody to say that the gifts are dead. People who believe they are dead will point to certain scriptures, but usually they're either taken out of context, misunderstood. They do something that the scholars in the church called eisegesis. And it has nothing to do with isolating Jesus. Eisegesis is a study of the Bible technique where you come to the Bible with your preconceived notions and you then take the Bible to fit your notions. Does that make sense? That's not how you're supposed to read the Bible. You read the Bible through exegesis. Almost makes Jesus sound like a superhero. Exegesis coming. He'd be better than Fat Thor, that's for sure, if any of you saw the last Marvel movie. Either way, exegesis means you open the Bible and you come with whatever preconceived notion you have, you lay it down and you let the Bible teach you. The first way, you're making the Bible fit your worldview. The second way is you're letting the Bible change your worldview. Does that make sense? Okay. So there is no good reason that the Bible gives anywhere that prove that the gifts were ever supposed to die. And God restored them over 100 years ago. And here we are today at Emmanuel Assembly of God enjoying the usage of the gifts of the Spirit. Now look, the gifts of the Spirit are not an end-all when it comes to spirituality. But I do believe that when the gifts are in operation and they're operating correctly, it's a sign of a vital, growing church. So I would encourage you with that, and we should be thankful that God is using us in such a way. Obviously, I say all of this today because we're going to take a break from the book of John, and we're going to jump into a message that I've been thinking about doing for a number of months now on the spiritual gifts. And we're going to focus mostly on the public gifts of the Spirit instead of the personal ones, and we're going to specifically focus on some of the gifts that we have in operation here in Emmanuel Assembly of God on a Sunday morning. Now listen, the gifts of the Spirit do not only have to operate on a Sunday morning. We're limiting God in a big way if that's what we're doing, okay? They can operate around the family, the table when you're sitting down for dinner with your family. They can operate in your life group, your Sunday school classes. Remember, there's at least 20 and probably many more spiritual gifts that the Bible speaks about. But we're going to sort of zero down on the ones that we experience most here at Assembly or at Emmanuel Assembly of God. And the first point I want to make when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit is that they are given by God through the Holy Spirit to His people. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And then picking it up in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everything, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we see clearly that the gifts of the Spirit or the spiritual gifts are given by God through the Holy Spirit Himself to believers, which tells us the gifts originate with God Himself. They don't originate in you or me. They originate with God and then God in us by His Spirit. And the other thing we want to understand is that God, through the Spirit, does not give all of us the same gifts. For instance, there may be someone in here who is gifted by God with the gift of administration. Someone else may have the gift of helps or hospitality. Others may have a gift of teaching. Some speak in tongues publicly. Others interpret. Does everyone have the gift of teaching from the Holy Spirit? No. Does everyone speak publicly in tongues? No. You see what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit will give gifts to His people as He sees fit. This is not something where God is playing favorites either. There are some people who have multiple gifts. Others may only be used with one or two. Well, if the Holy Spirit chooses to use someone with five different gifts on multiple occasions versus just one or two, that doesn't mean that that person's better than the other. That's nonsense. As a matter of fact, that's one of the issues the church in Corinth was having, and this is one of the reasons, the main reasons, that Paul is writing on the spiritual gifts in this letter, because they were judging each other. I use this gift, you only have that gift, you're nothing. Well, how dumb is that? The gift isn't yours anyway. It originates with the Holy Spirit, right? So, given by God through the Spirit to His people, not all of us have the same gifts, but, and I would like to add this, I do believe we need to be open to how God will use us in this area. Let me give you a, for instance, I'll use myself since I know myself fairly well anyway. My main gift would be the gift of teaching. And then I would say I also have a gift of pastor. Those would be my two main gifts. As far back as I can remember, and I've been saved now 27 years, I don't believe, and now I'm having pause on this, I don't believe I've ever given an interpretation to a tongue. If I have, I don't recall, and it's probably been like one time. Does that mean, though, that God can't use me in that way? No. There may be a day that a tongue comes forth, and the Holy Spirit living in me says, Gernitz, you're up. Interpret that thing, right? You may have the gift of hospitality. You've been walking with Jesus for 40 years. You've never once been used by God with a gift of healings or gift of miracles. And in one day, you're called to pray for somebody, and they're healed right there instantaneously. You may never use that gift again, incidentally, which is an interesting conversation, gift of healings, gift of miracles, but you got to be open for it. And by the way, this is why we're continuously to pray for the body of Christ. Pray for healing, trust in God. You never know when God's going to step in and do something, right? So God gives the gifts through the Spirit to His people. Therefore, if you know Jesus, He wants to use His giftings through you. Which leads us to the second point, and that is the reason He gives His gifts to His people. Are you ready for this? Is to build up the church. Take a look here at let's go 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 again. We'll start there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then you really see this idea of building up the church in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, where it says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. I think this is so incredibly important. The reason we have the gifts is to build each other up, to build up the body of Christ. When I think of the phrase build up, I immediately think of a building. And I don't know about you, but I want the buildings that I am in to be strong. I don't care if it's my house, the Empire State Building. You know, if I'm on the 75th floor of the Empire State Building and a 30-mile-an-hour wind blows and the thing falls over, I'm not happy with that, right? I want my buildings to be strong. So the gifts of the Spirit are given to strengthen the body of Christ individually and corporately as a local church. They're also given to encourage. And I think they go hand in hand with the idea of strengthening the body of Christ, building the body of Christ up. How many of you in here, this is kind of a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway. How many of you in here have ever been encouraged before? Yeah, okay. How many of you have ever been discouraged by somebody before? Yeah. Do you feel stronger or more built up when you're encouraged or discouraged? Yeah, right. You're saying, what a dumb question, Pastor. We feel encouraged, imagine this, when we're encouraged. And it strengthens us. You know, somebody comes up and says something to you, whether it's a gift of encouragement or a word of knowledge or the gift of helps being in operation, or somebody just simply is talking to you and you come away encouraged, sometimes you feel like you can fly. You can touch the sky. Please do not leave here today, go to the second floor and jump out the window. Man, I've been encouraged today. I'm going to fly. It's a metaphor, people. You understand that? It's a song. Okay. When you're encouraged, you're built up. You are strengthened. And that's one of the biggest things that the gifts can do for us, is to encourage us to get to that place. Now, after saying that, there are times when the gifts can challenge us. Somebody brings forth a tongue or an interpretation, a word of knowledge, word of prophecy, and it's somewhat hard-hitting. There is a place for that. There are times when Jesus needs to get the attention of a local congregation. If you've never read the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, I encourage you to go do it this week. Not long read at all, but Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus himself wrote 7 different letters to 7 different churches that were alive and kicking in the days of the Apostle John. Jesus had already died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, so Jesus is writing these letters through the Apostle John. And he tackles a lot of different topics in those letters, depending on what each church was going through. Some of those churches got slapped around a little bit. You know, one church had lost its first love, their love for Christ. Another church was putting their trust in wealth and fame. Another church was completely dead, completely. That's really completely dead. When you're completely dead, completely, you are completely dead, okay? And so what does Jesus say? He challenges them. He says, return to your first love. In other words, put me first. Don't trust in your money. Don't trust in your fame or your popularity or your reputation. Trust in me. And for the church was dead, man, you better wake up. You're not in a good spot. So Jesus here, through the writing of the Apostle John, is challenging churches. The gifts of the Spirit many times can be used in the same way to challenge us in our walk with Jesus Christ. But the gifts should never, ever be used angrily, judgmentally, or spitefully. Nor should the gifts of the Holy Spirit be used as a front to promote our own agendas. If we start using the gifts to promote our own agendas, and believe you me, there's an awful lot of agendas that are out there. And there's an awful lot of agendas that reside in us. We have to be discerning enough to know when God is speaking through us, and we have to be discerning enough to know when to zip it. We'll talk more about that in just a couple of minutes, okay? But we cannot use the gifts to promote our own agenda. They are used to promote God's agenda to build us up. Does that make sense? Okay. So God gives the gifts through the Holy Spirit to his people to build up the body of Christ, which leads me to inject the word grace into all of this. I want to make sure you all understand that we are under grace and not law. And here's the deal. There are times when we may use the gifts of the Spirit and fall flat on our faces. But in order to learn to use anything, including the gifts, there has to be room to blow it. Because you may blow it. Okay? But there's grace. Now, that doesn't mean we should continually blow it or whatever with the gifts and use them in the wrong way. But grace covers everything. I don't want you in this congregation to feel fearful because, oh my goodness, what if I make a mistake? Well, if you make a mistake, get up and keep moving. Learn from it. Peter made a few mistakes. He was always saying the wrong thing. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Has he ever said that to you? I hope not. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't need to know that, okay? But there are times when we blow it, but please remember we're under grace. We're under grace. Which leads us then to the third point, and that is the gifts are to be used in order. They are to be used in order. Take a look here at 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 33. Got a bunch of scriptures for you on this. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Okay. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. That'd be a personal use of the gift of tongues. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. Folks, God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order. He is a God of peace. And we are to use the gifts, therefore, in order. You say, well, what does that look like practically? Number one, we should not be using the gifts all at the same time. So if we come in here on a Sunday morning and there's like four, five, six people, they all start speaking in tongues loud and publicly, that's out of order, okay? If someone is speaking in tongues and they're interrupted, or they're giving a word of knowledge and they're interrupted, don't interrupt. That's out of order. Or if somebody does start speaking and you as the speaker of the gift, the user of gift, feel like you need to be quiet, then you be quiet. The point is it's supposed to be done in order. The last thing that a church needs is chaos. Chaos don't work, right? Discord does not work. Did you ever... Oh, gosh, I've said this probably 100 times. You ever go to an elementary school orchestra concert? There's a lot of words that you can use to describe an elementary school orchestra concert. Many times, they are discordant. In other words, they really don't sound good. Melodies are not matching with harmonies. And as a parent who just happens to be a musician, it's one of the worst things on the planet, period. Okay? Just the way it is. That's not what the church should be. We should be cordant, right? We should be using the gifts in order. Again, grace applies. If you blow it, okay. Pick it up and keep walking. Don't walk in condemnation. Oh, I'm no good. I'm never going to do this again. No, you're learning. You're learning. I'm sitting, okay? I'm sitting in what at the time was the biggest interview I ever had in my entire life. I'm sitting there, full suit or tie, and tie, believe it or not, sitting at this table that is at least 600 feet long with the district superintendent, all these presbyters, and the treasurer. And they are interviewing me to see if they want to give me a credential to preach. Now, I did very well on the test. I got like a 99 or something. And I was one of the presbyter's youth pastors. So I had some things working for me. And I'm sitting there at the end of this table, and they're asking me all these questions. It's 20 minutes long. I aced it. So my wife walks in. Now, she's like this, right? I mean, she's like big because she's pregnant. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're not there yet. Brother Bongiorno at the time was the superintendent. He says, how close are you? Well, my due date's in like 2 days. He's like, we got to get you out of here. She's big. She sits down. And they ask her, do you think your husband should be able to do this? And he says, yes. Or she says, yes, but his preaching's kind of dry. I ain't kidding. So I'm staring at her. I said to myself, what? What are you talking about? Well, he's got to become more himself. So I don't know if I become more myself or less myself, but I guess hopefully I'm not dry anymore. The point I'm trying to make is there are times early on that I blew it with my sermons. Not that I was preaching heresy or false doctrines, but I was learning. I was growing, right? Absolutely. By the way, you want to be teachable. Okay, I'll give you a little contrast. I got a choice of pastoring a church, say, of 2,000 or 200. I will take the church of 200 every day over the church of 2,000 if they're teachable and they're willing to go to the cross and follow Jesus with all their hearts and their lives. Okay? So be teachable and don't over-spiritualize that, would you? I'm teachable by the Holy Spirit, but not by you. Oh, yeah. Do you know that the Holy Spirit used a donkey in the Bible? You never know. You might be walking down the street, and all of a sudden, a donkey comes up to you and says, hey, buddy. Now, at that point, I don't know what's happening next, but it could happen. It's happened before, right? Be teachable by God himself in your quiet times with him. Be teachable from a Sunday school teacher, your spouse. Be teachable from a brother or sister in Christ. Be teachable. If you're not teachable, I'm going to tell you you're walking in pride and God's going to oppose you. God's a God of grace. He's a God of love. Yes, he loves you so much he doesn't want to walk you in pride. Want you to walk in pride, he's going to oppose you until you get right with him. Does that make sense? Okay. Either way, be teachable. And we don't want chaos, we want order. And the reason is not because we want to quench the gifts of the Spirit. We want order because that's what the Bible teaches, okay? So what do we got? First 3 points. Number one, gifts given by God through the Spirit to his people. Number two, to build up the church. Number three, we are to use them in order. And number four, this, my friends, is where the rubber meets the road, as they used to say. The gift, and I don't care what gift it is subject to the user of the gift. Take a look here at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the Holy Spirit. That's not what it says, does it? No, it's subject to the control of prophets. Now, have you ever heard someone say to you, once the Spirit stops moving, I got no control. I just can't stop myself. Have you ever heard someone mentioning that? Okay? They are totally and blatantly wrong. Completely wrong. That is unbiblical. Here, Paul is using the gift of prophecy, I believe, as an example, and we see a principle that is here for us. When we use a gift, I don't care if it's a tongue, an interpretation, a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of exhortation or encouragement, whatever it is, that gift is subject to you. Now, you might say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, personally, I don't really care. Because I want to know what the scripture says on this. And what this teaches us is that it's not just God using the gifts, it's God and us. This is one of those things where we come together to build up the body of Christ. It's the gifts through us. So if you're going to use the gift, you best know what you're doing and you best know what you're talking about. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be responsible and accountable to God Himself. And I would hate for any of you to stand before God one day and He look at you and say, dude, what was that nonsense? Well, Holy Spirit, it was your fault. You started speaking. I had no control. And God will sit there and say, well, did you ever read the Bible? Yeah, maybe, right? It's you and God using the gifts together. Your gift is subject to you, okay? We all on the same page here? Yeah. It's a very, very important thing. And once again, it has nothing to do with quenching the Holy Spirit. It has everything to do with using the gifts correctly and in order. We want the gifts to flow, but it's the gifts through us. We work together hand in hand. Here's a quote from David Guzik. I've used him many times. There is some communion juice on it, but we'll be able to get through it. He says, Paul makes it plain that no one is overwhelmed by prophecy. They are still in control of the exercise of the gift, even when the Holy Spirit is moving upon them. So if you start speaking and you feel yourself going down a road that maybe isn't quite right, just stop talking. And by the way, I am, and this is a personal opinion. I'm going to throw it out there for you to consider, to wrestle with, to ponder. I am of the opinion that when it comes to gifts like tongues, interpretation, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of encouragement, less is more. Less is more. I've been here over 3.5 years, and the most hard-hitting, specific, and powerful gifts of the Spirit are the ones that are less, and they just come right at us. Not only that, but if there is a tongue given and an interpretation, for instance, like this morning, give it a little time to germinate. Sometimes we're so quick to get in our tongue or interpretation, we've heard for a half a second, and the next thing you know, somebody else is talking. I, again, am not quenching the Spirit. That is not my goal. But I want you to ponder, less is more. Now, if you feel in your spirit that you are to give an interpretation or a tongue or a word of knowledge or a word of whatever, okay, and it especially goes with one that was just spoken, we had that this morning, by the way, fine, go with it, roll with it, okay? But if it's something totally different that you sense that God has put on your heart, hold off for a moment. Give us a chance to respond to what was being said before. Does that make sense? Okay. Anyway, I'm hard pressed to say that that's a biblical thing, but that is a personal thought of my own. Ponder it. There is something about less being more, hard hitting, getting our attention. Either way, no matter how you look at it, the gifts of the Spirit are subject to the user of the gifts. That's point four, which then leads us to number five, numero cinco. And that is, it is up to the other believers to test and judge the gifts. Take a look at whatever scriptures are next. I have them on a different page here today. 1 Corinthians 14:29, start there. I think we read this one already. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. hold on to what is good. Oh, you know, you pastor long enough and you get some stories. I pastored a church once where there was a self-proclaimed prophetess. Some of you groaned just that. It could be an interesting deal. So we were putting together the leadership team, our life group ministry. And I had a vision for it, if you will. I had an understanding of it. I'd met with our life group leaders. We were moving forward with this ministry. And I can recall, plain as day, being out at Nescopeck State Park, which was a state park up by Hazleton, that I used to go to all the time to pray. So I'm praying. And I guess I was praying over this ministry that we were, in essence, launching. And in prayer, God, with that sort of that still, small voice, you know what I'm saying, where you're praying, you just kind of know it's God speaking to you. He says to me, he says, Jason, this lady may come to you and fight against what you want to do. I want you to be strong in what it is you and your leadership team are putting together. And that was that. A couple days later, she comes in my office, and she says, you're doing this all wrong, Pastor. This life group ministry is to be centered upon my life group. Well, there's like 4 million red flags at that moment, right? And so I said to her, I said, well, that's interesting. Because God, just a couple of days ago, revealed to me in prayer to stay strong that you were going to come and say this to me, right? That wasn't the end of it, but I certainly use that as an example that it is up to you to test it. You have to test it. Listen, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You don't need necessarily someone coming up to you saying this, thus, that, and these. At the very least, they can do that, but it's got to resonate in your own heart. And if it don't resonate, then it don't resonate. Get rid of it. Like we just saw in verse 21, keep what is good. Get rid of all the rest of the nonsense. So, how then do I, for instance, on a Sunday morning, judge the gifts? It's a great question, isn't it? Because I'm standing up there, and I'm not going to speak for Pastor Josh, but I'm standing up here, and many times I speak after it. I'm listening, sensing, doing whatever I need to do. Lord, what are you thinking about this? What's going on? What's being said? I know Pastor Josh, even today, had that opportunity, as he does many Sundays as well. For me, there are two templates, I guess. I'm not sure that's the right word, to use in order to test. The first one is, how about it, the Bible. If someone gives you a tongue interpretation that is anti-scripture, it is not the Holy Spirit. It's a no-brainer. By the way, is why you need to know the Bible. Please know the Bible. Know it better than ever before. Read a verse a day. Read a chapter a day. Read until the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Read it through a year. I don't care how you read it. Read it with a devotional. But read it so you know what's being said, so that you're not just buying anything that comes your way. I think one of the reasons cults form all the time is because nobody knows the Bible. Know the Bible. That's the first thing. The second thing is it building up the body of Christ? So if someone gives an interpretation or a word of knowledge, is it building up the body of Christ, or is it tearing down the body of Christ? Is it getting into an own agenda type of thing? We have to test these things. We have to judge them. And if that's the case, we need to stop it. Okay? Now, there is a third one, too, and that is that inner witness of the Holy Spirit, kind of like what I had with this one prophetess. You know, the Bible doesn't say in Matthew chapter 17 that, you know, such and such assemblies of God, you know, 7 years ago is supposed to start life groups and do this. You're not going to find that in the Bible. But the Spirit lives in you, and there are times when something is just off, and for whatever reason, it could be wrong, it could be the wrong timing, whatever, and you just kind of know it, then you got to make a decision. Is it terrible? You know, is it leading? Is it a false teaching? Is it something weird? You know, how do you deal with it from there? So on and so forth. There's a lot that goes into all of this stuff, but you don't ever, ever want to use the gifts to tear down. You want them to build up. Words that tear down hurt, and they can last for decades in a person's life. Somebody was spoken negatively over when they're 6 years old, and now they're, whatever, 47, and they're still feeling it. God can heal that, by the way. God can deliver you from that pain, from that hurt. He's in the business of healing past hurts and continually making us whole. So there's the five things I wanted to mention to you. Number one, the gifts of the Spirit are given by God through the Spirit to his people to build up the church. Number three, because I put number two in there. Number three, we are to use them in order. Number four, yes, we are under grace, but we are still held accountable and responsible to use the gifts well, and therefore the gifts are subject to the user of the gifts. And then finally, number five, we are to judge what is going on. And when you're judging what's going on, keep in mind, we're not judging the person. We're judging what's being said. There's a huge difference. Because just as you can bring forth a tongue or interpretation with anger and spite and hatred or bitterness, so you can judge someone else in the same exact way. I don't see anybody in here who's Jesus or the Father. Therefore, I don't see anybody in here who is the ultimate judge. But we are called to judge what is going on when the gifts of the Spirit are being used. Does that sound good? Okay, this has been sort of brewing in my head. It came from a question that I got a while back, and then I had other conversations and different types of things, and I thought the time was good to jump into it. We do not want to quench what the Holy Spirit is doing, but we do want to make sure that we are doing what we need to do. We understand how it all works. And last but not least, and this is how I'll close, we want to make sure when someone is speaking, we're listening. Because I do believe that there are times that the gift, again, we're zeroing in on tongues, interpretation, prophecies, those types of things. There are times when a message comes forth for the entire body of Christ. Most of the time, that's probably true. When a tongue or an interpretation or a word comes forth, it's for all of us. So it would behoove you and me to listen to that. Because God is wanting to speak to you. But then there's a time where maybe it's just for you. It could be. Where God is speaking so specifically, it's almost for you and maybe one or two other people. Either way, I encourage you, don't be afraid of them. Don't get wigged out by them if you're not used to them. This is how God operates. This is his plan and his purpose for today. And he still speaks to the church. Amen? So ponder this, and may the Lord use you with your gifts, and may you be willing to be used by God with the gifts. Can we stand together, please? This is one of those where you probably could have broken into two messages, so we're a little later than normal. But we got Evangelist Tim Bennett and his wife next week, and then the week after that, we're probably jumping back into the book of John for a little bit. So I appreciate your attention. I am so thankful that God uses his gifts through this church. May we continue to be willing to be used in whatever gift, not just these public ones, but even behind the scenes types of gifts. And if you don't know exactly how God has gifted you, get into the Word. Find out some of the different gifts. And I believe that God will show you something that kind of resonates. And then run with it. Sound good? Father, we thank you for this morning and this afternoon. We thank you for Asher, Christopher, and the Jane family. Continue to bless them as you would continue to bless us as well, and all the children of this church, our young people. Lead us and guide us, and lead us and guide us in the gifts. May we use them in order. May we fully understand that they're subject to us as we use them. And give us the wisdom to judge rightly, Lord, and with grace. We give you praise, we give you glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Everybody have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon.